We want to start our lesson this morning by defining three different words. The first word that we want to define is the word steward. A very simple definition of the word steward is one who is entrusted with another individual's goods. When we think of the term steward, there are a lot of things that come to mind. One of the things that comes to my mind is money. A steward is an individual who is involved in the financial affairs of another individual. A second thing that comes to mind is the term faithfulness. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians 4, verse 2, "Moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." My friends, if you're going to have a steward, if you're going to trust one with all your goods, then you want that man to be faithful in that charge. Another thing that I think of is a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery. He was eventually sold to a man by the name of Potiphar. And he became the steward in Potiphar's house. Did he not? Genesis chapter 39, verse 4. The Bible says, "And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him. And he made him overseer over his house. And he gave unto him all his goods into his hand." Folks, everything that Potiphar had, except Potiphar and his wife, were completely, fully entrusted to Joseph's care. That is a steward. The second word that we want to talk about very briefly is the word opportunity. What is an opportunity? Webster says that an opportunity is a favorable venture of circumstances, a favorable coming together of circumstances. In a book that I've been reading recently, they define this word opportunity as follows: the special moments God has provided for us to grow and for us to affect the lives of other people. What a definition. Those special moments, those special times in our lives when you and I have the ability to grow, but not only us, but someone else is benefited as well. We can favorably affect the life of someone else. A possibility, an occasion. Those are some of the synonyms of this word opportunity. Then lastly, let's define the word parable. What does that mean? The word parable literally means this: to lay alongside of. Jesus was the master when it came to telling of parables, was he not? What did he do? He would take an earthly story, a true story, and alongside of it, he would lay a spiritual application. Therefore, the very simple definition of parable has become an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Thus far, we've looked at three words, have we not? We began by looking at the word steward. We then looked at opportunity. And we have looked at the word parable. Now we want to turn your attention to Matthew chapter 25, 14 through 30. This is a very familiar parable of our Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, if we were to take those who have been members of the church even just for a few years and ask them to tell us the parable of the talents, they could very easily go through that story and tell us about all the things that transpired. But this morning, we want to look at it from a different perspective. I told you about this author that I was reading. He says that the parable of the talents could also be referred to as the parable of opportunity. Now, folks, that's a whole different way of looking at that parable. A totally different perspective that is put upon it. You might say, well, how in the world did they go from the parable of talents to the parable of opportunity? Here's their reasoning. Every talent, every ability, every gift, every blessing that God bestows upon us opens up a door of opportunity for us to serve God and glorify His name. And isn't that the case? So for the next few moments, we're going to be looking at using every opportunity that God gives. And we're going to be doing that by examining this parable of opportunity, this parable of the talents. The first point that we want to make is this: talents and opportunity are tied closely together. When you turn to 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 10, the Bible makes mention of this very point. As God has given to every man the gift, so let him minister the same one to another. Now listen to this. As good stewards of the grace of God. Folks, notice what Peter says. Peter says that we have all been given gifts. And because we have those gifts, because we have those abilities, what are we supposed to do? We're just supposed to hold on to them and do nothing? Oh no, use them. Minister with them one to another. There's your opportunity. Now how do you do that? As good stewards of the grace of God. Now we've got all of our words tied together, don't we? And that's found in this idea of the parable of the talents. Folks, you have talents, you have abilities, you have gifts, you have blessings that have been bestowed upon you. And each one of those means that there are doors of opportunity available in your life. Point number two. And this is where it gets real serious. Every person in this audience has been given by God a talent. Isn't that just one of the simple lessons of the parable of the talents? For the kingdom of heaven is as a certain man who traveled into a far country, and he called unto him his servants. And unto the one he gave 5 talents. And unto another 2, and unto another 1, each man according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. He called unto him who? His servants, folks. And guess what? Every one of them was given talents. He didn't miss anybody. Nobody went empty-handed. Everybody got something. Now, here's the point. They all didn't get exactly the same talents. And they all didn't get exactly the same number of talents. But guess what? They all got a talent. Now, we could right now go and talk about the first century church a lot. In Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 14 through 20, there is much discussion about the spiritual gifts and the abilities and the talents that God bestowed upon that first century church. Folks, they were many and they were diverse, and not everybody had exactly the same number, but every member of the body of Christ has a talent. Now remember what we said. Talents are tied to what? Opportunity. If you've got a talent, if you've got ability, then God has opportunities out there for you to use those opportunities to His name's glory, folks. I'll tell you what needs to happen with many of us. We need to get real serious. And we need to get off somewhere all by our lonesome. And we need to get in a room with a pen and a pencil, and we need to start marking down all of our talents and abilities. We need to take a good inventory, folks, of what God has given to each one of us. Because we all have them. Nobody has been left out. Now watch point number three. There are many different ways that opportunities are made available to us. You might be saying, well, what in the world are you talking about? Here's point number one under that section.
You and I have the ability to use our common talents to the glory of God.
You say, what in the world are you talking about? Common talents. I thought everybody had different talents. I didn't think everybody had the same talents, folks.
Some of us, in fact, all of us,
have some very common talents among us. Let me ask you this. Can you turn the corners of your mouth up? We call that a smile, folks, don't we? Can you smile? Well, let me tell you, if you can smile, then guess what? You have opportunity available to you, don't you? Let me ask you this. Can you pronounce the word hello? That's what John Shannon was wondering, wasn't it, during his preaching? Hello?
Can you say hello? Can you say thank you?
Do you have that ability? You bet, folks. You want to know what drives me crazy in today's society? We are not friendly. You know it? You go to the post office and you walk through the door. They got your head down. They won't even look at you. If you smile, they just go, what are you smiling at? If you say hello, they won't say nothing. Nothing. What is wrong with everybody, folks? But you see, you and I have the ability. We have the talents to do that, don't we? And folks, when you use those opportunities, they bring glory to God Almighty. And it's just a common talent, isn't it? Question, do you have the talent of presence? You here, aren't you? That's your presence, folks. You don't have to be able to do anything. Just show up. When somebody's hurting and grieving, guess what? They just want somebody to show up. When somebody's sick and in the hospital, they just want somebody to stick a head in and say, hey, we're praying for you. Do you have those kind of talents? You bet. How many people in this audience are illiterate? You can't write. Now, I didn't say write well because I can't do that. But we all can write, can we not? Folks, can you not get a little card out and say, happy birthday. Thinking of you. Hope you don't have to. I mean, hope you have a bunch more. And just send that card to them, folks. They get that command. Wouldn't it be great if in a church of 100 people, every birthday, I get 99 cards? Man, every member of the church thinks about me on my birthday. That'd be good, wouldn't it? Be encouraging. Mailman would begin to understand when my birthday is. And he dreaded that day. But you see, that's common talents, common abilities, folks. And we can use those every day to the glory of God. Jesus was sitting on Jacob's well. And a Samaritan woman comes along about to draw water. And Jesus speaks four words in John 4:7. Give me to drink. And guess what he did? He opened up a huge window of opportunity to speak and teach about the living water to that woman. You see what we're talking about? Using those common abilities to open up doors, to glorify God, to let individuals know that we are the children of the living God and that we love and care and appreciate people on this earth, folks. Can we not do that? Secondly, there are some opportunities that I make for myself, aren't they? I got to thinking about that one from a biblical perspective. And in Matthew 9, there is a woman who had an issue of blood. And she heard that Jesus was coming, didn't she? She'd been to hundreds of doctors, folks. She'd had all kinds of medications, all kinds of prescriptions, all kinds of things done to her, and still not healed. And guess what she did? I'm going to make my own opportunity. The throngs were pressed around Jesus, and she made her way through all of those people just to do what? Touch the hem of his garment, and virtue went out from Jesus, and she was healed. Why? Because she made her own opportunity. Thirdly, there are some opportunities that other people can make for us, aren't they? Old John Mark blew his opportunity on the first missionary journey, didn't he? Got to Pamphylia and he turned back and went to Jerusalem. Guess he missed Mama. I don't know why he went back. But when the second missionary journey came along, guess what? Paul did not want the man. No, he is not going with me and Barnabas. But guess what? He went on a second missionary journey, folks. Well, he didn't go with Paul, but he did go with Barnabas because Barnabas stood up for him. Because Barnabas provided an opportunity for him. Genesis chapter 15, verses 37 and 39. John Mark made a second missionary journey. Why? Not because of himself, but because some other man helped provide that opportunity for him. And then there are opportunities that God provides for us, aren't there? Old Mordecai talking to his niece while she was there as queen of Persia. Yet if thou altogether holdest thy peace at this time, then shall enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, Esther. But thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed, and who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? Esther chapter 4, verse 14. Esther, who knows? God may have put you in this particular place at this moment in time for this very reason. God gave you this opportunity to save the Jewish nation. Folks, that's a tremendous thought, isn't it? God can provide me with opportunities. So you see, I have opportunities by common abilities. I have opportunities I make for myself. I have opportunities supplied by others. And I have opportunities that God gives me. That leads to the next point. You and I will have opportunities available to us until the day we die. Did you know that? Until the day we die, folks. Here's something that's interesting. Every day are filled with opportunities. Every day. Aren't they? How many people do you pass by on the street, in the store, at Walmart, wherever you are, every day? That's an opportunity, folks. How you doing? Everything good? Beautiful day. You like a calendar? You see, an opportunity. Real simple, isn't it? There's some folks do that pretty good in this congregation. Hand them out all over the place. Folks, we ought to be able to saturate this end of Jacksonville, haven't we? And all the beaches with them things. They see us coming, they say, there's the person with the calendars. You see, those are opportunities. And the day is filled with them. Now here's the next point, though. Once today's opportunities are gone, they are gone. Aren't they? I'm down at the post office and I see somebody. This may be the only day that I get to smile at that person. You know what? I may never get that opportunity again. He and I, she and I may never ever see one another again. But that day, I've got it. But you let it go by, you never get that one again. Isn't that true? And guess what? There's some opportunities that are once in a lifetime, folks. Once in a lifetime. and you'll never get it again. And if you get it, you better grab it and you better use it to the fullest of your advantage and to your ability. And isn't that what the parable of the talents is all about? Using those talents, using those abilities, using those opportunities to the fullest of my potential. And he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made beside them other 5 talents. Likewise, he that had received 2 talents also gained 2 other. Folks, what is that telling me?
Here are 2 individuals who were given talents, and guess what? They used them to the fullest of their advantage. Didn't they?
Doubled their talents.
Even though they were different in number, both men worked hard.
Both men went out diligently and doubled what they had. Folks, use your talents and opportunities to the fullest advantage. But he that received 1 talent went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's talent.
There's a man doing what? Not using his abilities. Not using the talents that God has given. And that leads to our 5th point under this section is this. One of the deepest, darkest, biggest regrets that you and I will have is to come to the end of life
and not have used our talents and opportunities the way we should have used them. That'll be one of our biggest regrets, folks. Do you know that? And can you imagine getting to the end of your life and looking back and saying, man, look at all the times and all the opportunities and all the things that I missed, and I could have had it to my advantage and I did not. What a deep regret that will be.
Point number 5. And this is serious too, folks.
Eternal consequences are tied to my use of opportunity.
Maybe we should say this. My eternal destiny is tied to how I use every opportunity that comes my way.
Now remember, my opportunities are tied to my what?
To my abilities, aren't they? And the point of the matter is this, is that one day, that Lord who has delivered me to those talents is going to come back and he's going to reckon with me.
And after a long while, the Lord of those servants returneth and reckoneth with them. Matthew 25:19. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming back.
And that Lord who delivered you those talents, that Lord who you are supposed to be his steward of all of his goods, is going to hold you accountable for the use of those talents.
And he that received 5 talents came and brought other 5 talents with him and said, Lord, thou deliverest unto me 5 talents. And behold, I have gained beside them other 5 talents. And his Lord said, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord.
Folks, here's a man's eternal destiny staked out upon his use of his talents and abilities. Well done. You've done a great job.
I can't believe this. Enter in to the joy of thy Lord. Little two-talent man. He missing three from the five, isn't he? What's even worse, he's missing six from the ten. It just gets worser. If you just want to compare them, but folks, there's not a comparison like that. It has nothing to do with the amount, remember. It has to do everything with what? The use. That's what it has to do with. The two-talent man came. Lord, I have gained beside them two others also. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many. Enter thou in to the joy of thy Lord. And then he that had received one talent came and said, Lord, I knew thee, that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid. And I went and hid my talent in the earth. Lo, there thou hast that is thine. And his Lord answered and said, thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I have not sowed, and that I gather where I have not strawed. Thou oughtest therefore to have put my money to the exchangers, that at my coming I might receive mine own with usury. Take the one talent from him, and give it unto him that hath 10 talents. For unto him that hath it shall be given, and that in abundance. But from him that hath not, it shall be taken, even that which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. All he didn't do was multiply his talent. Didn't steal it, didn't lose it. Just gave it back, exactly what he'd been given. Here it is, Lord. And he was a wicked and slothful servant. And my friends, he faced the destiny of eternal condemnation. Did he not? Cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I've got talents. I've got abilities. I've got opportunities galore, and I won't use them. That's your choice. That's your choice. But you will give an account. And my friend, your eternal destiny rests on that choice. Now that leads to point number 6. What's your excuse? What's your excuse? The one talent man had an excuse, didn't he? Matthew 25:25. Lord, I was afraid. And I went and hid thy talent in the earth. I've got an excuse. I was scared to death. What's your excuse? What's that old saying? 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Sometimes numbers are even different than that, aren't they? 10% do 90. The question is what? Where's the 90% that need to be there to help out with the work, folks? They're just not using their talents. So the question is, what is your excuse? Oh, there's a ton of them, aren't they? I'm afraid.
Probably the biggest one today is this. I'm too busy. I just got too much to do. I gotta have me time.
Some individuals don't do anything out of anger. Mad at the preacher. Mad at the Bible class teacher. Mad at the eldership. Just ain't gonna do it. Just mad. It's true. Just angry and upset. Then people gotta have somebody to blame, right?
Well, they just won't let me do it down there.
I want to, but they just won't let me. Folks, find a way to use your talents and abilities. But we blame other people, don't we? What's your excuse for not using your talents and abilities and opportunities for God Almighty?
We've seen two big things, haven't we, in this lesson? I hope we have anyway. The first thing that we've seen is this. Talents mean opportunity
to glorify God.
The second thing that we've seen is that we're going to give an account unto God for how we use all of our opportunity.
Now, here's something I want to leave you with, folks, and I hope you get this.
God in heaven has expectations for your life.
Did you know that? You may not have any, and you may could care less, but God has expectations for your life. The one talent man didn't use his talent, did he?
As his choice. But you want to know something? That doesn't mean that his Lord didn't have an expectation of him. In fact, do you remember one of the statements that the Lord said to that man? Thou oughtest, therefore, have put my money to the exchangers, that at my coming I might receive my own with usury.
Here's the least you could do. Here's the bottom line. Here's what I expected, bare minimum of what you could do. You see, folks, God has expectations. That's a scary thought, if you ask me. Stand before God, no expectations of myself. I just do whatever I want to. And He's got expectations for you. He's got things in His mind that He wants you to do and accomplish and become, and you don't.
Folks, God wants us to use every talent, every ability, every blessing we can to its fullest and greatest potential, doesn't He?
We sang a song a while ago, and I was wondering if Aaron was going to lead it, because I thought about it. And here's what it says. How are you using God's golden moments? That's pretty good, isn't it? Remember, opportunity is what? Those special moments to grow and affect the lives of others. Do you need to respond to this invitation? Folks, here's an opportunity to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. This opportunity may not ever come again either. If you believe He's the Son of the living God, that is Jesus, if you're willing to repent of sins, confess His name before men, won't you be baptized into Christ for the remission of sins? Peter said on the day of Pentecost, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Maybe you're an erring child of God, and you're sitting out there, and you know, folks, you know good and well, you are not serving God up to your talents and opportunities. I find it interesting, there ain't no age limit on that parable, is there? No age limit. How are you serving God? Do you need to repent and ask God to forgive you? Won't you come as we stand and sing?